in addition to health risks, is the increased risk of explosion, which could be catastrophic.
My name is Emily Skydell. I'm a senior organizer with Food and Water Watch. We are a national group working in New York State to stop fracking infrastructure and get us off gas for good. We've got 200,000 members in New York State.
Yeah.
That's 200,000 people that don't want fracking infrastructure in our state. That should count for something, Governor Hochul.
Yeah.
Here in New York, despite banning fracking and passing groundbreaking climate legislation, we are still out here fighting the fracking industry as they continue to fight to hold on to their monopoly over our energy. Through applying to build more infrastructure to keep us on the hook, and by pushing legislation like S6030 and A6039, the legislation that would change the regulations and the calculations on methane. Can't even explain it because it's that wonky, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to shove it through and hope that nobody notices. This bill will completely gut the strength of the CLCPA as a mechanism for fighting climate change.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight, and in the morning with your toast and mama lady-o. Who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring, or fall. Who listens to radio? Only 150 million. 150 million people. That's all.
Waif Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Waif Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebbtide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up and didn't know where he was.
Welcome, radio listeners. This is Bound by Books.
Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Hudson, Athens, and beyond.
Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Claire, and I'm 8.
I'm Georgia. I'm from Stockbridge, and I'm 12.
And I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
Fatia, I'm 9 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
We are here to talk about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today.
Hooray.
Hurrah, hurrah for books. Whoopee.
I'm excited to hear from you all today. Hear what you've been reading, what you're excited to read, whatever bookish thing you want to share.
Woo.
Exciting to see you all.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I haven't been here the past couple weeks, so I'm excited to be back in business.
How was your play? I know you were in a play a couple weeks ago.
My play was great. The one thing is I was fighting a cold, and I wasn't at my best, but the performances went really well, and I held up, and I did the art for the posters, and they looked really good. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So who wants to start us off today talking about a book or a bookish thing? Why don't we start with Fatia today?
So I have a book. It's called The Superior Team to the Rescue.
Is this a book you've written or that you read?
A book that I've written.
You wrote it. Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Is it a picture book, a book without pictures, graphic novel? What kind of... Are there illustrations involved?
It's a graphic novel.
Oh,
Now we're talking.
Once upon a time, there lived some superheroes. Their names were Spider-Man, Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman. But all of them felt like there was something, someone missing. They were looking for that person until one day there was a book that said, "Hi, my name is Flash. I live on top of the mountains. Come and find me." So they all were looking for the highest mountain. When they came, there were two guards, not normal guards, but very powerful. Then all of them combined, so they thought they would come back soon. But Spider-Man said, "Why not fight, since it took us days to come here?" So they fought. It was a really hard battle, but almost all the superhero team was down. But Batman and Wonder Woman were the only ones that survived. So Wonder Woman and Batman said, "We will come back soon." So the two left, and Spider-Man and Superman were locked up in a cage. Batman and Wonder Woman were seriously injured. The two were looking for wild berries to eat and salt water to drink. Until there was Supergirl that helped Batman and Wonder Woman survive. Supergirl brought them to a nice house. When they entered, Wonder Woman and Batman fell into a big round hole. When Supergirl was not looking, Batman tied her up and put her in a cage. When they both left and abandoned the house forever, when they left, Supergirl was secretly still there. Batman and Wonder Woman went to the highest mountain again and fought them and rescued them both. Then rescued Flash, and then Supergirl showed up. They were surprised and fought Supergirl and gave her the cure. Batman asked him, "Where did you find this?" he asked. Superman told him that he found this in Flash's house. A few seconds later, Supergirl woke up and they all told her what happened. She was surprised, and then Superman said, "Oh, I remember, you are my sister," he said. Then Supergirl said, "They will need more heroes to help them defeat the Joker." The end.
Woohoo! That was really good. I love the superheroes finding each other plot.
Thank you.
That's very cool. Fun hearing your stories. Very exciting. A little fan fiction there, perhaps.
You're a really good writer. If you want, like, I could totally see you being a writer when you are an adult, and I'll be able to look at every single book on the shelf in every single bookstore, and I'll say, "Hey, I used to be on a radio show with her. She's awesome."
That'd be cool. We can go to her author readings.
Ooh, that'll be
signings. Fun. Very cool. Great. Thank you for sharing, Fatia. Who would like to share next?
I could go.
How about, yeah, go for it.
So the book I'm going to be sharing today is called Front Desk. It's by, I'm sorry,
I love Front Desk.
Okay, so I'm sort of gonna multitask and share two in one. I haven't done that before, but I feel like doing it. So what I'm gonna be sharing is Front Desk and Three Keys, both by Kelly Tang. Front Desk is the first book, and then Three Keys is the sequel. I borrowed them from my English teacher. Shout out to Miss Cormier if you're listening, which she probably isn't, because, and never mind. But anyways, so they are so good. And she doesn't have the third book, but she's going to get it, and which I'm excited to read. These were so good. I read them each in a day. They were so good. I was hooked on them. I couldn't stop reading them. They were just so good. I will read the description for Front Desk and then tell a little bit about Three Keys. So I'll read the description. Mia Tang has a lot of secrets. Number one, she lives in a motel, not a big house. Every day, while her immigrant parents clean the rooms, 10-year-old Mia manages the front desk of the Cala Vista Motel and tends to its guests. Number two, her parents hide immigrants. If the mean motel owner, Mr. Yao, finds out they've been letting them stay in the empty rooms for free, the Tangs will be doomed. Number three, she wants to be a writer. But how can she, when her mom thinks she should stick to math because English is not her first language? It will take all of Mia's courage, kindness, and hard work to get through this year. Will she be able to hold onto her job, keep the immigrants and guests, escape Mr. Yao, and go for her dreams? And then for Three Keys, it's the sequel. And basically, so Proposition 187 might be passed if Pete Wilson is elected senator of California. And this is like based on true events. This is sort of historical fiction. But if it passes, it's an immigration law that will mean that immigrants that crossed over illegally won't be able to go to school, which is super unfair. And everyone should have a right to education, at least I think. And so it's like whether it'll get passed or not. And Mia, yeah, they're trying to figure all this out. They have green cards, but her best friend is not legalized. And if this passes, then Lupe won't be able to go to school, which would be terrible. And her dad, Jose, was locked in jail because they caught him, and her mom is stuck in Mexico. So usually I think the first book is like the best and now the others can surpass it, but honestly I'd say the two are perfectly equal, which I've probably never said before. It's so good. Totally absolutely would recommend. And right now I'm reading A Good Kind of Trouble by Lisa Moore Ramey, and I will share that next week once I finish it.
I also loved Front Desk and Three Keys. I have also not read the third or fourth book. And then there's a fifth book that I just learned is coming out in September.
Wait, what? There's a fourth book and a fifth book? I need to notify my English teacher of this.
Yes, not the third book is Room to Dream. The fourth book is called Key Player. And the fifth is called Top Story. And that the fifth one's coming out in September. I knew about the four, but I just was looking up the titles for them. Mm. And was like, oh, there's a fifth one now. Yeah, great series from what I've read so far. Maybe I'll try to read the next one soon.
Ooh, yeah.
It'd be really easy to just read them back to back to back, but
yes, they are so good to read. Mm-hmm. And what I like about them is they're not like boring, because I feel like with some books it's just like too much, just like da 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 da, and I feel like it just hops right into action. Because I know I shouldn't do this, but I sort of judge books by their cover and their first few pages. And I feel like it just sucks you in the first five pages. It just like, it really catches your eye.
Agreed. That's the Front Desk series by Kelly Yang. First book is called Front Desk, shockingly. So Claire, would you like to share something with us today?
Mm-hmm.
What have you got?
One picture book called No Fuzzball by Isabel Kung.
Is Fuzzball the name of a pet?
Mm-hmm. I'll read you the first page. Hello, I am No Fuzzball. Perhaps you have never heard a name like this before, but it's because you have not met a queen like me. My subjects worship me. Hear how they scream my name everywhere I go. No Fuzzball, No Fuzzball, No Fuzzball! And really cute illustrations, and it's a really good book.
Is it funny? Seems like it would be a funny book.
Yeah, it's funny.
With a cat named Fuzzball, you know? Sounds like a funny cat.
No Fuzzball.
No Fuzzball? Oh, it thinks its name is No Fuzzball because people are always saying that?
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious.
And once in the book, they're like, Fuzzball! And then he's like, have they forgotten the queen's name? And then they're like, No Fuzzball, No Fuzzball, No Fuzzball! And they're like, aw, they love me.
Cats are the greatest and the worst at the same time. They're perfect. Did you have another book too? Or was that the one you wanted to talk about?
That was the one I don't.
Okay. Great. I'll have to check that one out. Sounds fun and funny and goofy. I like a good cat book. I don't think I've read that one. So I wanted to highlight a few books that are coming out this week that I think sound really good and that people will want to check out. So first up, I wanted to share Big Tree by Brian Selznick. And people may have read some of Brian Selznick's other books, including The Invention of Hugo Cabret, which was a Caldecott Medal-winning book, and Wonderstruck, and what were his other ones? Kaleidoscope. He's had some others as well. But he has a lot of his books, not all of them, but a lot of them are chapter books that have really beautiful pencil illustrations that are super detailed, really beautiful, which is why he won the Caldecott Medal for Invention of Hugo Cabret. But I'll read the description for this one. It is called Big Tree. A mysterious voice has been speaking to Louise in her dreams. She and her brother Merwin are sycamore seeds who hope to one day set down roots and become big trees. But when a fire forces them to leave their mama tree prematurely, they find themselves catapulted into the unknown, far from home, alone and unprepared. They must use their wits and imagination to navigate a dangerous world filled with dinosaurs, meteors, and volcanoes, in the fear of never finding a safe place to grow up. As the mysterious voice gets louder, Louise comes to realize their mission in life may be much bigger than either of them could ever have imagined. Brimming with humor, wonder, mystery, and a profound sense of hope, Big Tree is a trailblazing adventure illustrated with nearly 300 pages of breathtaking pictures. It is Selznick's most imaginative and far-reaching work to date and a singular reading experience for the whole family. And even though you should probably check this book out as a book because of the beautiful illustrations, the audiobook is read by Meryl Streep. So that's probably pretty good too. That might be one worth listening to and reading. I've done that before when there's a book that has really interesting imagery or illustrations that I feel like would be lost to not see the illustrations, but then the audio recording is really good too. So then if you listen to it, but also like look at the pictures while you're listening, it's like you get it all. That's really fun. But yeah, that's Big Tree by Brian Selznick. And that comes out came out April 4th. Another book that just came out this week is a first book in a new series. It is called Nick Blake and the Remarkables. That's the name of the series. And the first book is called The Manifestor Prophecy. And it is written by Angie Thomas, who I'm trying to remember if she's written anything for middle grade. She's written some very popular books for teens, like The Hate U Give, On the Come Up, Concrete Rose.
I'd say it's meant for teens, but some of the kids in my grade have read it. I want to read it.
Which one?
The Hate U Give.
Oh, yeah. That one's definitely, her other books are written for teens, but this one is a middle grade novel. And as far as I can tell from looking at the author page, It is her first middle grade novel. And it seems very different than the other books that I've read by her are all contemporary realistic fiction. And this seems a little different. It's, so this is the first book in a new fantasy trilogy that's inspired by African-American history and folklore. So here is the description for that. It's not easy being a remarkable in the unremarkable world. Some things are cool, like getting a pet hellhound for your 12th birthday. Others, not so much, like not being trusted to learn magic because you might use it to take revenge on an annoying neighbor. All Nick Blake wants is to be a powerful manifester like her dad. But before she has a chance to convince him to teach her the gift, a series of shocking revelations and terrifying events launch Nick and two friends on a hunt for a powerful magic tool she's never heard of. To save her father from imprisonment for a crime she refuses to believe he committed. Whee! It sounds really fun.
It sounds so good. And just want to say, if there are new radio listeners right now, what you heard just now was a classic Emily Woo.
Did I do woo?
Yep. She does it every show when she doesn't know what to say.
Not when know what to say. When I'm excited. That's our Emily. About
when she's
a book.
Either excited or she doesn't know what to say.
That's our Emily.
That's our Emily.
Yep.
Cool. Who knew? And I don't always notice it, but you do. Thank you.
She went one show without saying it, and that was when she was really sick.
Oh. I just couldn't get the excitement to make a woo.
Yeah.
But the commitment, being on the radio when you're sick, you know.
Very impressive.
I've got my priorities straight.
Oh, yeah.
I'm healthy now. Don't worry.
Woohoo.
So another book, which I will read the description to, because I haven't finished it yet. I did start this one over the weekend, and it came out this week, is the new kid book called School Trip. It's a graphic novel. So the first book was New Kid, and then the second book, I always forget the title of. What was it? I must find it because I can never remember the name of the second book, but it was very good. Is it like Class Act or something like that? Yeah. Okay. So New Kid was the first book. Class Act was the second book. And the third book that just came out by Jerry Craft is School Trip. And it features the same characters from the first two books. And this time they're going on a school trip. So here's the description. Jordan, Drew, Liam, Mari, and their friends from Riverdale Academy Day School are heading out on a school trip to Paris. As an aspiring artist himself, Jordan can't wait to see all the amazing art in the famous City of Lights. But when their trusted faculty guides are replaced at the last minute, the school trip takes an unexpected and hilarious turn. Especially when trying to find their way around a foreign city, ends up being almost as tricky as navigating the same friendships, fears, and differences that they struggle with at home. Will Jordan and his friends embrace being exposed to a new language, unfamiliar food, and a different culture? Or will they all end up feeling like the new kid? So I'm at the part in the story. There had been some kids that were in trouble, and the teacher stepped out of the room for a moment, and they managed to mess up all of the trip plans for the teachers. So there were multiple trips happening for the school. So some kids were going to Nantucket, some were going to Yellowstone, some were going to Paris. Those are the ones that I'm remembering. And so they switched around some of the teachers. So like the French teacher was supposed to go to the Paris trip, but they got moved somewhere else. And so these kids really messed with the trip. But now they're just about to head out. They're catching their flights. And yeah, they don't have their French teacher with them or their favorite other teacher. It's fun so far, very similar feel to the first two so far. I really like the first two books, so I'm excited to continue reading this one. So that is School Trip, a graphic novel by Jerry Craft, came out this week. And Jerry Craft will be at the Children's Book Festival in Hudson this May, Saturday, May 6th, 10 to 3. the Hudson Junior Senior High School, and you could meet Jerry Kraft, ask him questions about his books.
Wait, is the cartoonist that does camp? Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. She'll be there.
Miller. Yeah, she'll be there too.
I am totally coming.
It's a great lineup for that event.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. I remember 3 years ago when we were so excited seeing the lineup that she was going to be here for that event. And then it got canceled due to COVID. But finally coming back. Very exciting. But yeah, those were the, I'm just going to highlight three books this week. These are three new releases that I thought sounded really great. Is there anything else you all wanted to share before we go for the day?
Well, I am so excited for the book fair. I was just daydreaming about how I can control myself from absolutely fangirling over Kayla Miller. She's one of my favorite cartoonists. I'm probably going to go mad. But I'm going to try to keep it chill, which will be hard, but I'm going to try.
And if I was an author, illustrator, and a big fan went a little wild, I would be okay with that. As long as they didn't, like, hurt me. Like, just don't flail your arms around too much, you know? Well, Claire, did you have something?
It's my friend's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, Claire's friend.
Her name is Uma.
Oh, happy birthday. Uma. Hope you have a great day and a great year.
Okay.
How about you, Fatia? Did you have anything you wanted to share before we leave?
Yeah, I do. It's like, it's coming soon, and like I'm like really excited for it.
I can't remember what day it's on this year.
I'm not sure either because I didn't check in a while.
It looks like it's April 21st. Yeah, it's interesting at this time of year. Sometimes these holidays all overlap, but we have Ramadan and then Passover and Easter all at the same time. Three different religious holidays. And of course, there's lots of other holidays in between there, but those are three of the biggest ones at this time of year. Although Ramadan moves around quite a bit. I forget, does it move? It moves forward or backward every year? I can't remember.
I think it moves forward maybe.
Looks like because it's during the, it follows the lunar Islamic calendar. Yeah, it looks like it moves forward by 10 or 11 days each year in a 33-year cycle.
Really cool. It's a lot each year.
Yeah, I can remember when it was in the summer in the past. I just remember there were people playing sports in like very hot weather while they were also fasting. And my thinking that seemed very challenging. But yeah, I hope everyone who is celebrating any of those holidays enjoys their holiday festivities.
Oh, totally.
Little tune from Claire there. Is that tune copyrighted? Can we play that on the radio? We won't get in trouble by the artist.
Well, it's not an actual song.
Well, it is because you just wrote it. It's your song. Are we going to get in trouble if we play it on the radio?
No, you won't.
Oh, good. Okay.
I don't know if this song is made up or not, but I think the song was already made, but because
I feel like I recognize that.
Yeah, when I made it up, I thought, wait, isn't that like some song that somebody made up?
Oh, and by the way, don't say you are allowed to. Give a very transparent answer that they can't really tell whether it's yes or no. Then when they end up playing it, you can sue them for plagiarism.
What?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just shooting gibberish.
We're going to have to do a lot of pledge drives if you start suing the radio station. Don't do it. It's not worth it.
We can't